y'all, and welcome to the Fix Yourself First with Dr. Christy podcast. This is a show for people who are tired of waiting on others to change and ready to focus on themselves in order to improve their relationships. I've learned from my personal and professional life as a psychotherapist and relationship expert that the only way to have a healthy relationship was when I realized that I have to fix myself first versus waiting on others to change. Thank you for listening to my show, and go ahead and hit subscribe so you don't miss any future ones. Now let's get started.
Love, ambition, and the showgirl. What does all this have in common? Well, in today's episode, I'm talking with author Nicola Harrison. She has written two historical fiction novels, Montauk and The Showgirl. What's so fascinating about Nicola is her journey from getting almost this rebirth in her early 40s, or right before she turned 40. She talks about her journey of going through life, doing all the things, checking all the boxes, and then getting a do-over and becoming an author. She was born and raised in England, and then she moved with her family to Southern California when she was just 14 years old. She's a graduate of UCLA, and she got her MFA from Stony Brook. Prior to writing novels, she worked as a fashion journalist in New York City, and she now lives in Manhattan Beach, California, with her husband, two sons, and high-maintenance chihuahua named Lola. In this episode, Nicola talks about what it's like to relate her life to this historical fiction book called The Showgirl. We talk a little bit about Montauk, her first book, but talk a lot about The Showgirl. It was out recently. You're going to find her journey and what she's gone through and then developing herself as an author very relatable. So I hope you enjoy my chat with Nicola. And after this episode, be sure to make sure that you connect with me. If you're a woman over on Facebook and our Ideal Connection groups, you can join our limited weekly series going on right now. We start off, depending on when you're listening to this, very soon. And also make sure we connect over on Instagram so you can jump into my weekly lives there. So sit back and relax and enjoy my chat with Nicola Harrison, author.
Hey, Nicola, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
I'm grateful to have you here and cannot wait to dive into your background, the work that you're doing, and talk about The Showgirl and your other works out there. So why don't we start out? I just kind of want to jump right in there. Everyone's heard a little bit about your bio before we jumped in, but I'm curious, with the work that you've done and where you're at in your life, what would your teenage self, like 12-year-old girl, what would she say about where you're at, what you're doing now?
Oh, that's such a good question. I think my teenage self would be impressed, would be happy with where I am right now. I think maybe she would be a little surprised at the twisty, turvy road that's got me here, because there have definitely been some like bumps in the road. But yeah, I think for me, I had kind of like a second act when I turned 40, or around, you know, a little before that. I went through a divorce and remarried, and sort of at that time, everything started clicking and working for me. And that's when I was able to, you know, I got published, and now I have my dream job as a published author. So I think I think there'd be a little surprise and a little bit of happiness for me.
I mean, that little girl, surprised, impressed, and happy. I really love that you've got this second life, this second chance, this, you didn't say it, but it's almost like this, like awakening, this page turner, a little bit before you turn 40. Tell us about that, because I know many of us can really identify with, like, when you hit a bump in the road, things can really change. Share a little bit about your journey through those changes.
Yeah. So my first book is called Montauk. So this book I'm holding up right now. And it's funny because it's historical fiction. And my first book was set in the 30s. So it's a fictional story that incorporates some of, you know, real history that happened. But it's funny how I was able to put myself into the book and into the story. And so, you know, it's about a woman who's struggling to figure out who she is, where she fits in life. She's in a struggling in her marriage, and just figuring what it is that she needs to make her happy in life, and what she really needs to thrive. And so in my next book, The Showgirl, when I was, you know, remarried, I was pregnant, I was going to have a child. And like I said, I was having this sort of second act in my life. And at this point, I was wanting to write about female ambition. And, you know, sort of, I wanted to write about that struggle between being driven and wanting to succeed at something that you're passionate about, but also, you know, being there for your kids and being a good wife and being a good friend and, you know, nurturing those other relationships in your life. So it was sort of that push and pull that I wanted to write about, because that's what I was going through in my own life. So it's funny how these books, I'm able to pour myself into them, even though they're historical fiction.
That's really relevant. If we go back to your first book, Montauk, this woman in the 30s, the 1930s, kind of figure it out. Most of us can relate to, or I would say definitely I can relate to being lost, just not knowing or being told, probably more similar to the character, that this is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to act. This is this, you go through and check these boxes. And when you do and get to that end, it's going to make you happier. This is kind of your role.
Yeah.
From Montauk in your own journey, do you kind of see that as similar, that like we're told, I mean, we say specifically as women, of what we're supposed to do to be seen in a way that's acceptable, like with your character back in the 30s, but then definitely maybe with your own experience of you follow these rules, you don't step outside the lines.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think especially, it's funny, in the 30s, yes, definitely you were sort of put into this box. Okay, you're married, you have to act this way, you have to socialize with these kinds of people. But it's in some ways, it's still so relevant today. Like, we find ourselves sometimes getting put in those boxes, and you sometimes can be in a relationship and you really feel that you lose yourself in that relationship. And it's just sort of, you have to claw your way back out and be like, who am I? Like, just because I'm in this relationship doesn't mean I have to lose myself in this way. And I just think it's funny writing historical fiction, how many times I'm like, oh, this is so different. It was so different for women back then. And then you're like, actually, we haven't come that far. You know, we're still struggling with some of those same themes.
Yeah. And I agree, especially those expectations, right, of how to behave and what to do. And tell me if your characters from Montauk or The Showgirl, either they, this criticalness, I found it so easy for us as women to be critical of ourselves, whether it's how we look, how we behave, are we doing enough, are we worthy enough? Yeah. Did any of that resonate with any of you personally and or your writing?
Yeah. I mean, especially in The Showgirl, because the character Olive in this book is sort of unapologetically ambitious. And in some ways it can make her at times unlikable, because she's going after what she wants. It's a passion that she has. She wants to perform on the stage, is what she's trained for her whole life. And she's going to go after that. And it, you know, she has to make sacrifices along the way. And, you know, of course her family's not necessarily approving and everything. And so, yeah, I mean, that's something that I face myself, and I wanted to put into that character, because it's like, sometimes you just have to be a little bit ruthless and go after what you want, and you know that you're going to make people unhappy along the way. But men do it all the time. They go after what they want. And so, you know, it's sort of finding that balance and being able to fulfill the things that make you feel good about yourself.
And it is that, like you said, that balance of doing things that help you feel good about yourself, while also it's trying to show up in a healthy way in those relationships, but keeping yourself as a priority. And that's kind of our basis of the idea we have here with fixing ourselves first, is that if we don't take care of ourselves first, everything else goes off the track anyway. We're not showing up as a role as a friend, an aunt, a sister, a mother, all the roles that we play. If we're not keeping ourselves as healthy as possible, nothing matters. And it sounds like that's pretty important to you too, as well as in your writing.
Yeah, definitely. And also that idea of sometimes you just have to have an outlet. Like, if you have an interest, whether it's, you know, creative interest, or whether it's a sport or something, you know, all of that, especially when you become a mom, I think a lot of that gets pushed aside. Your outlet for it sort of gets pushed aside, and it becomes all about your kids and swimming lessons and schoolwork and all that kind of stuff. And then the little time you have left, you're spending, you know, with your partner. But I feel like it's still so important to find, to carve out a little time for yourself. And for me, that's writing. It's when I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. It's like when I come alive, I'm able to put those words and stories down onto the page. But for other people, you know, maybe they had a passion for like, for art, for painting, for dance, for tennis, like whatever it is. I just feel like you have to try to carve out a little time for yourself and find that healthy balance.
And I know you've been working on that and doing that. Any tips that work well for you of the actual management of carving that time out, as well as do you ever find any mental gymnastics of trying not to take on guilt of putting that time? How does that work for you as a mom?
It's always that guilt, right? It's like, you know, you're not necessarily going to be there all the time for the kids at every single pickup, because you have to ask for help and you have to sort of be okay with asking for some help so that you can get it all done and feel successful in all aspects of your life, you know, your career, your as a mom and as in a relationship. One of the things that works for me is not always, because I'm in my home office right now, but when you're home, there's like other stuff that needs to be done as well. So sometimes for me, it helps to get out of the home and work somewhere else. Like my husband's a dentist and he has a spare operatory that he's not always using. So I put a desk in there and sometimes I'll just go and work there because I can close the door. There's nothing else for me to do there. It's a very sterile environment. And there's like no distractions. I just sit there and work. So that's a tip that works for me. But what sometimes it's a case of like going to a coffee shop or just getting out of the house to get work done.
I bet that helps, because I know this from you. It probably helps your creativity too, changing that environment, because there will always, like you said, be something where I need to change a load of clothes, or I need to get the trash out, or gosh, I forgot about that one thing I've been putting off, but I need to write. And so that other thing is just more important, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And also like hanging out with like-minded people who sort of get that spark going in you. So for me, I'm in a writing workshop. And so every Thursday night on Zoom, I meet with a group of people who we used to meet in person, but now since I've moved to California, they're still in New York. And so we meet on Zoom and we just like share pages with each other. And it gives you that self-imposed deadline. It gives me a self-imposed deadline for like coming up with more pages, because I know I'm going to share it with people. So I think just, you know, no matter what it is, whatever your creative pursuit might be, I think just finding like-minded people that you can share the passion with.
Yeah, it's important. But and it also probably validates that, hey, you know, this guilt that comes up for you as a mom because you have to take time away from the kids, or as a wife not doing whatever might be going on. Like, wait a minute, I'm not the only one. This validates that I'm doing the right thing. It feels good to be heard. No one can probably understand you like that group as a writer. Exactly. So I can see there's so many benefits. So whatever it is that you're into, for folks listening, find some type of like-minded person or people or group to help you realize just how important it is for what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So as you think about your journey, especially as an author, there are folks listening right now that have an aspiration. They want to write, or they have a creative project, or they want to go do, or a career change they need to make in some kind of, or maybe even a relationship change. Let's be real. Those are listening too. Yeah. So they know they need to pivot. What would you tell someone that's like, to help them know that it's possible? Here you are, you've had a pivot. Well, first of all, you moved across the world at a young age. You grew up in California. You went to New York. You're back. You had a page turner of a relationship change, went through a divorce, you had kids. For that person right now listening that knows they need some type of change, whatever aspect it is in their life, what would you say to them?
I would say, first of all, I would acknowledge that yes, it's a little bit terrifying when you know you're going to make a big change in your life. And that's normal to feel that way. But I think that when you know you need to make a change in some way, or when you get that feeling that there needs to be a change in your life, you're probably right. You know, go with your gut instinct. You're probably right that whatever that change is, it does probably need to happen. And it's, you're going to get through it. Like, and just on the, there's another side to it, and you're going to get there. And you're, at least for me, I went through a divorce, and that's really when I sort of got very passionate and felt very, like capable. Like I knew that I was going to do this. Yeah. I was going to write the books, and it was sort of like everything else like melted away. And I was like, I can do this. And I did it. And so I guess I would just say, like, have faith in yourself. If you have that gut feeling inside, have faith that that's you speaking to yourself and knowing what's right for you, and just go for it.
And that confidence and faith in yourself, knowing, like you said earlier, that it can feel terrifying, and on that part of the journey, but getting on the other side of it is so worth it when you're following that intuition.
Yes, exactly.
So with your work and how do you not just make time, but how do you stay fresh with your ideas? How do you find yourself to get inspired? Like, what keeps you motivated? Because writing is so hard to do and finishing projects can be. So where do you find your inspiration and motivation?
Yeah, so I love to write about play. I generally come up with an idea with a place. And it's like, so for my first book, it was Montauk because I had spent a lot of time there and I used to have a weekend home there. And then usually I build a story around the place, because you think about it, I'm going to be working on this book for the next year and a half. And so I want to be interested in it. I don't want to like fall out of love with my topic soon. So I usually come up with a place that I want to write about. And it's even better if I can be there or be close or go visit or do research there and just like immerse myself in that world. And then I usually, after doing some research, I develop a story from there. And I try to use, historical details that are true and places that are still around. I like to incorporate all of that in, but then the story ends up being fictional. So I have a book coming out next summer, June of 2023, and it's called Hotel Laguna, and it takes place in Laguna Beach, which you probably know after living in Huntington.
Yeah.
And this one's it takes place at the end of World War II in 1946. And it's about a young woman who has worked in the airplane factories in Los Angeles as a Rosie the Riveter during the war. And then the men come home from the war and the women are told, okay, thanks very much for your time. Go back to being a housewife. And but she's not a housewife and she doesn't really have a home to go back to. So she ends up in Laguna Beach working for an artist down there, a crotchety old man. Who's like a famous artist, and she gets really entwined in the whole art world down in Laguna Beach and is in a scandal from his past. So that was really fun to write because I had just recently moved back to California, and so I was able to go down there and do research and wander the streets and sit on the beach and get in that mindset.
Oh, it's amazing. And the art in Laguna is incredible. And the artists in Laguna, not just the history, I mean, it's thriving. So,
yeah.
Oh, it's fascinating. Exactly. It gives me chill bumps. I can't wait to read that one. That's so great. So, everybody, mark your calendars for this time next year. We'll have to have you on again to talk about that when that comes out, because I know you can't tell us everything. So, tell me, growing up for you, what was your favorite book? Did you have a book that really stood out to help you kind of fall in love with reading or writing?
I mean, I was always reading. I'm trying to think of one in particular. The Great Gatsby. I love The Great Gatsby and the world of the 1920s and everything.
Yes.
And all the fashion. And I loved including, I used to be a fashion journalist in New York. And so that's one thing that I really like to incorporate in my books is the fashions of the time, especially in The Showgirl, it's the 1920s and the flappers and the 1920s was such a decade of change for women. You know, they just got the right to vote and they were like emboldened by that. And so they completely changed the way they dressed. And I loved writing about all that, just because it's not just about the clothes, but it's about how those women must have felt going from wearing these, you know, corsets and Victorian, like up to here and down to the ankles. And suddenly they're wearing these like above the knee dresses with no bras and they're cutting their hair short. Like that must have felt so liberating to have such a drastic change in fashion. You know, you think about the changes in fashion that we experience. It's like, oh, go from a skinny jean to a straight jean. It's like, we're talking like a half an inch of a difference.
Yes.
Like a mid-rise to a high-rise. And it's like breaking news. But the changes that they went through with fashion then was so drastic. So
that's a good point.
I just went off on it.
Yeah, no.
You asked me
what. No, that's like, well, obviously, Great Gatsby, I would think inspired you, right?
Yes.
Quite a bit. Like that's your foundation. So that makes total sense. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you still find time to read, and are you still a pretty avid reader?
Yeah, I do. I do. I love to read. And I love, I mean, authors like Fiona Davis, she also writes historical fiction, but hers are all set around a particular landmark building in New York City, like the New York Public Library. And then she'll create a story around that. So I love all of her books. I love Jamie Brenner. She writes beach reads, you know, that are perfect for like reading in the summer. And so, yes. I read a lot and I listen to a lot of books too. I've one on my nightstand at night and then one that I'm listening to in the car when I'm running to soccer drop-off and stuff.
Well, there's different books for different moods and spaces. So that makes sense too. There's some I find that I'm easier like to sink into in certain situations. So that makes sense.
Yeah, right now I'm listening to a book by Taylor Jenkins Reid. She wrote Daisy Jones and the Six and the Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And but her new book is called Carrie Soto is Back, and it's about a tennis champion. And it's interesting because there's some similar themes with that book with the showgirl, because it's about a very ambitious woman who's like determined to become the number one tennis champion. And it's sort of that interesting idea of like female ambition and how she's just like making enemies left and right, but she's going for what she wants.
Oh, I love it. And I know everyone will also love The Showgirl and Montauk. So tell us a little bit about how people can connect with you, follow along with you and your work, as well as find your books.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok a little bit. And it's just at Nicola Harrison Author. So you can follow along there. I usually post, you know, book news if I have about my new book coming up or if I'm going to be doing events in various cities. And also I post about other books that are coming out that I think are really great, book recommendations and that kind of thing. And a few
That's
pictures
awesome.
Now and again.
You're like, the kids, we throw them in there. Well, thank you so much for being here. And thanks for keeping us inspired and motivated to keep working on our own creativity, whatever that might look like. And to be a great example of things change and things can change and actually can get better, because we're so fearful of change because like, what if it gets worse? But it can also get better. For you, it sounds like it really did. So thanks for sharing your journey.
Thanks so much for having me. This was great.
So what did you think about this show today with Nicola? I think it's interesting how her own journey led to her writing, even though she has written two books on historical fiction. And it just reminds me of how much in our daily lives intercrosses between our personal life and our professional life, regardless of what we do. So make sure you connect with her on her website, grab the copy of The Showgirls or her first book, Montauk. We'll make sure we link that over on the episode page. And be sure you go over and connect with me on Facebook and join our weekly series there. And if you have missed it, make sure you take the relationship role quiz, helping you figure out that role you're planning in your relationship and make sure it's your healthiest role that you're working towards. Thanks again for being here with me and joining me in each episode. As always, DM me any thoughts you have, any feedback, or anything you want to hear about. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to my show. Your support means the world to me. Remember, you can always be a guest on the show to get your questions answered, or you can email me your questions on my website. If you enjoyed the show, please consider giving it a review on iTunes and downloading all the episodes. You can access all the information I discussed today in the show notes at christyoverstreet.com/podcast. Until next time.